This is an interview with Mr. Leslie Chin, conducted on November 30th, 1977, in Mr. Chin's office at Kenwood Senior High School in Baltimore County. The article and book referred to in the interview is The History of the Chinese American in Baltimore, a bicentennial project written by Mr. Chin.
I came to this country in 1941, and I came in, you notice my date of birth, is 1928. Actually, back in the old day, there's a discrimination. The Chinese cannot come to the United States unless the father is living in the United States. So I came to the United States as a brother of my father. So I claim my grandfather as father. So complication?
So in other words, the man that you refer to in your article as your grandfather.
It's my grandfather. It's like my, it's on my paper.
Yes.
That's why I'm Leslie Chin.
Yes.
So Chin is not my real name.
Yes.
Hom Kim K is my real name. And I lived in a village in the old country. Canton, a small village, and I grew up there. And also another thing too, I was adopted by the family because my foster father passed away, and in the old country, the woman and the oldest son in the family had to have a son to carry on the name. And my father, my foster father, had two girls. So they need a son, so they adopted me as the son and carry on the name Hom. And during the Second World War, and they decided to ship me over, send me over to the United States. So I came over, you may call it refugee, with a badge on my back and in front and say who I am and where I'm supposed to go.
I want to get into that later, right?
So I came in to the United States. I had to go through all the problems of the interrogation. I had to memorize a book that's about an inch thick.
What is the interrogation booklet that you mentioned?
The interrogation booklet is every Chinese before Second World War come to the United States had to go through the same process. They had to memorize the whole history and situations and terrain of the village. Now, a lot of Chinese come to the United States is not as a true family, true son. The problem is that they, in other words, they can go buy a paper name from other family and come to the United States. In order for him to come in, he had to memorize the book consists of the whole family history of their paper, the paper son. Whole family history, memorize everything. And from how many steps to your front door, how many doors, which is front door on the left side, northwest, and east, and so on. Now, where this question is ridiculous right now.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Was this a requirement of the United States government?
You're right. Because through the interrogation, they ask you, what's your name? And you answer your paper name. And how old are you? And your age is the age. And then say, you don't look like that age, but you repeat, I am this age. And where are you from? Who's your mother? And what's your mother's name? And what about your grandmother on your mother's side? And grandmother's name on your father's side? And who did marry your grandmother? This question is ridiculous now, and look back, but it's true.
Do you still have that?
No, I regret it. I threw it away, but if you ask any Chinese to come before, on or before Second World War, they had to go through all this. And that is the biggest problem. Now, if you fail, let's say a question, couple questions you failed answer correctly, and they ship you back. In other words, you failed examination. interrogation, and that's it. You go back to old country.
Well, where did you take the exam? Did you take the exam in China?
No. The interrogation is right in that the quarantine. They have quite a few places in Seattle, in San Francisco, New York, Boston. I came through Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little island, and I remember that time that I came in at 41, and I had to go through all the procedures. And if you pass, then they send for the family to pick you up.
Mm. You say you were born in a village outside of Canton?
Canton's about 80 miles. Uh-huh. Toisan is a small district.
I see. How would you spell that?
Well, there's so many different ways of spelling it now. Uh-huh. That's the simplest way is a T-O-Y, and I think I had it in the book.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
S-H-A-N, I think.
And
there's so many different pronunciations.
You were living with your family in that village?
I lived with my foster mother.
Yes.
And their two sisters. And my two sisters had grown up at the time. And one of them married. And I have another sister. And when I came over, possibly age around, the paper age, around 12 or 13, but the real age, around. I would say, actually, I didn't even know how old I am at real age.
Mm-hmm.
Because, number one, I remember that when they adopted me, I remember something about that situation when I come to a strange village. But I never mentioned it to my mother, because if I do that, I would make her lose face.
Mm-hmm.
I would start up something that I shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably get spanking and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm smart enough to avoid those things.
Yeah, yeah.
To keep it quiet, let's put it that way.
Did you explain the difference between the paper age and your real age?
The paper age is now where, you see, the foster father passed away. Although I'm the son, but
mm-hmm.
my father, the foster father, passed away.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot come in. So I had to be my own. I had to claim my grandfather as father.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now the age, maybe a few years,
they
three
just
years,
pick
two,
mm-hmm.
year,
mm-hmm.
so on. The difference.
Mm-hmm.
I never do, but pretty close to that
yes.
similar age,
mm-hmm.
maybe a couple of years difference.
And your grandfather came over here first. Is that correct?
Yes. My grandfather, now this is another true story too. My grandfather came over, we call wetback. My grandfather came in, maybe jump ship. I don't know, but I never did ask him when he was alive. He probably wouldn't tell me the full story. But I heard from my grandmother talk about that. My father came to the United States in at the turn of 1900,
mm-hmm.
and he used to be he worked on the sampan. He worked on the see in that village the area we live. I had a river come up,
mm-hmm.
and he's the one had to go down to the riverbank. Is any ship to come in? The winds kind of die down, the sails no workable,
mm-hmm.
and the currents keep going down out,
mm-hmm.
and the ship had to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So they need men to pull the ship upstream.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather had that hard job.
Boy.
So he's the one that pulled it. And he mentioned that to me,
mm-hmm.
as I remember.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him when he was young what he does,
mm-hmm.
and that's what he told me. So he had a hard job, and he had a chance to come to the United States to buy borrow money from some relative in the village, and how he came over and how he jumped ship or wherever he go through the same process I have, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But he got in, but when he came in, and he should use the name Hum, but
mm-hmm.
he didn't use it because at that time they in that that interrogation, the translator
mm-hmm.
is the name is Chin. The translator is Chin.
I see.
And so, and if he say Hum, which is not close relative, or yes. even the distant relative. Mm-hmm. So, since he found out that man, we do the translation, mm-hmm. is Chin, mm-hmm. so when he asked, what's your name? So he said, my name is Chin so and so. So it's not a word they say, well, I'm Chin, you're Chin, too, you should give me a little more favoritism.
Yes.
That kind
yes.
of thing.
Uh-huh.
So I think that, too, my grandmother told me about. That's how he mm-hmm. come the name Chin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he came over, and back in the old day, when Chinese come over, they used to have laundry. That's the only thing they can do.
Why was that?
Well, one thing is the back in the turn of the century, when the Chinese come in, not in the turn of the century, around the mid 1800, in the mid 1860s, when they built the railroad, and when the pioneers moved west, mm-hmm. and they used to have a lot of dirty laundry, mm-hmm. and the Chinese, of course, they can't speak the language. So the only thing they do, they whatever that other people don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the cowboys and whatever they have, and their pioneers, get the laundry and give it to them. They wash it, iron it, and they've been doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
So they got the job
mm-hmm.
as a laundryman. So if they don't need much money, so they got off the ship and they don't have so much money, and they can, from relatives to relatives, and they bring in and start building that kind of business.
Mm-hmm.
The laundry, that's how it was. According to some of my research, in one book they mentioned that they even sent the laundry back in Hong Kong to wash. Take them half a year before they get the laundry. And they did.
Uh-huh.
And even before that, they even sent the laundry through the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And they come down to South America and come back to New York and wash. And faster than the Gold Cross.
Uh-huh.
With the wagon train.
Isn't that amazing?
So that's the story. Now, I don't know how true, but...
Mm-hmm.
So...
why did your grandfather come to Baltimore? Did he?
Come to Baltimore because relatives
mm-hmm.
in the Baltimore, or friends
mm-hmm.
in the Baltimore. So they usually bring their own relatives. Matter of fact, right here in Baltimore, I had quite a few relatives, a home family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just like Jimmy Woo's and the Woo family, that
mm-hmm.
they're
yes.
all related family.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we still do.
Yep.
Bring the family over, distant relatives, like the sister family.
I see. Your grandfather was not what is called in the books a sojourner then. He didn't go back and forth.
The sojourner is the one that just come in and make the money. Yes, he is. He make the money. He went back to the old country. He went back a few times, I would say. There's another interesting thing about this. Why the Chinese always has sons come to the United States?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is what happened. When they go back to the old country, even they have a girl, and when they come back to the United States, they stay there until they have a child, either boy or girl, then come back. Then through the interrogation, then ask them, well, what do you have, a son, a daughter? They always, I have one son, twin son, I have two sons, depending on the
mm-hmm.
Calendar
mm-hmm. yes.
you have. Or you can claim back, you know, to come back, yeah, so a few months later,
mm-hmm.
You say, well, I had another son.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you go on one trip, you might have three.
Mm-hmm.
But no girl. No. Uh-huh. People say, how come the Chinese always has son but no girl? But some do claim one or two girls
mm-hmm.
and so on. But a girl is not that variable at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They have sons come over and they can sell the paper, the
mm-hmm.
paper son.
Mm-hmm.
Sell to somebody else. Maybe $100 a year. So you have 10 years old, be $1,000.
Uh-huh.
And so on. And 15 years old, the paper worth $1,500.
And then they can get the paper sign over.
Yeah, the paper sign's over, and
uh-huh.
only sell the paper for that price.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's how they make the money.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come over, the first thing, they have to work and pay off the debt.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to pay off debt is go right into the work. As soon as they got off the boat, that's it, go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And where? In the laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the chop suey place, the other things, is coming a little later.
Mm-hmm.
So after the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
at the railroad, and then a lot of Chinese kind of, since the railroad stopped, and they stopped paying them, and they stay wherever they stopped at the city or town, they stay there and open it, had money, they open the chop suey place, or open the laundry, and they have formed a little community they call Chinatown. So that's how they started. And also the people back in the 1860 or 70, after the railroad finished, 1870, a lot of them went into farming. They went down Louisiana, Mississippi, and so on, farming. And while doing that, they also had fishery. They become fishermen. So today, if you go down New Orleans, Florida, around the Gulf Coast, you will find the Chinese fishermen down there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And if you go to a western part, New Mexico, Texas, you know, now Mississippi side, you'll find the Chinese had laundry and chop suey place, a restaurant. And on the, since you pass the St. Louis on the other side, there's usually a grocery, laundry, and restaurant. Now, I have a brother-in-law have a grocery store down Tucson, Arizona. Now, his father, his grandfather, built helped build the railroad. And his father actually was born in Tucson, Arizona. So he's about second to third generation.
Yes.
And he went back to the old country in the 30s and married my sister, my oldest sister. And then after Second World War, during Second World War, he in the service. And after the war, he went back and brought my sister over.
I see.
After Second World War, a lot of Chinese bringing their family.
It became a lot easier then.
Easier, yeah. Only after Second World War.
Yes.
But before that, it was very hard, impossible.
Well, why were you selected to come over?
I didn't select to come over. It's the family felt that has the only son in the family, and it, the war's getting pretty hot. And the Japanese invading the China, pretty hot. The best way to do it to send the sons over. And at the same time, then a lot of Chinese went back to the country and found out that the war is getting too vigorous and too hot to handle. So they come back to the United States. There's one family here, Buck Ox family. Is another Chinese, outstanding Chinese community members. He passed away a few years ago. His wife is still living.
The Bak Ots?
Bak Ots, yeah. I think I mentioned in the book.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, his family was, well, Mrs. Bak Ots told me that when Sino-Chinese War, going on at that time in the 30s, and she wanted to take the whole family. At that time, she had like four or five kids, and they had the restaurant and make a few dollars, and they just wanted to go back to old country. But the husband says, no, you can't, because the war is too dangerous. We have a lot of people that's coming back.
Yeah.
So they stay, and they stay, and the sons are now it's all finished and have their PhD, doctorate degree, and a very different field in science. And even daughter had their doctorate degree. So if they take their children back to the old country, they probably won't have that opportunity.
Well, when you came, you planned to stay for good and all?
Actually, I didn't plan to stay for good when you're that younger age, around 10. And I came over, and my grandfather had a hard time during the Second World War, and then I went to school. And first I went to school, in Elmwood School, but the war has taken all the young men to Chinese restaurant, all the young men went into the service, so nobody worked in the kitchen. So they, although I'm at that time 11, 12, 13, and I had to go into the kitchen. So I kind of through pharma school and go in to work in the kitchen for my uncle.
Yeah.
My uncle had a restaurant in Utah Street.
Utah
Fair Street.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed there, and they had no way to find me. Back in those days, they do have people trace the children under a certain age, you had to go to school.
Yes.
I had no way because I was hidden in the kitchen and doing all this cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go to school until after the Second World War in 46.
Then you went to an American type?
Yeah, then I went to
Baltimore school.
And I went to school, and they put me in junior high school in ninth grade. At chronological age,
mm-hmm.
they put me in the ninth grade. Now, that time, then I realized my age is starting to, changing, so they put me in that ninth grade. Then I went to 10th grade in City College. But in 11th grade around 1948, one of my uncle wanted to go back. When I say uncle, it's relative.
Yes.
Relative. Wanted to go back to the old country,
mm-hmm.
to visit China. And so they need someone to work in the kitchen. So I said, well, okay, I'll volunteer. So 11th grade, I only take two courses.
Mm-hmm.
Math and English.
Mm-hmm.
And I took the two courses in the morning. I said from 8 o'clock, and I had to go to work at 11 o'clock. I had to be open the restaurant in the kitchen, 11 o'clock, and I worked until the next morning, 3 o'clock, for a whole year. And most of the time, I was I slept through the classes, or didn't make it at all.
Uh-huh.
So attendance was very poor at that time. You can see. From 3 o'clock, I didn't go to bed until 4, and I had to get up maybe around 7 or 7:30,
mm-hmm.
and could get into class around 8 o'clock. So that that year, I went through 11th grade, and on the 12th grade, I make up all the courses that I required,
mm-hmm.
For graduation, mm-hmm. and I graduated in 49. And then I went to Hopkins,
mm-hmm.
or McCoy College, and Mellon,
mm-hmm.
Institute.
Mm-hmm.
One reason I went to college is because the class I was in, everybody went to college except me.
Uh-huh.
And I feel terrible. So during the summer, I searched and found that I'm where the best,
mm-hmm.
I can fit into. So I went to art school.
Mm-hmm.
And then through academic course, I took it in McCoy College.
Mm-hmm.
And the practical course,
mm-hmm.
down in Mellon Institute. So mm-hmm. I, in the morning from 8 to 3, down at the Institute,
mm-hmm.
and from 4 to 10, down to Hopkins,
mm-hmm.
every day.
Mm-hmm.
So my first year was pretty rough.
I can imagine. I can imagine.
But for 4 years, I remember my first year, mm-hmm. for both school, I only paid around $600 a year.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I graduate in 53, it went up to almost 1,000.
Yes. Yes.
So that's a lot of differences.
Yeah. Did you go to Chinese school when you were younger, or?
Yes, I went to a Chinese school. I think since I got they adopted me, I think at the age maybe around 5 years old, or 6 years old, so on. Then they sent me to a school. I remember, I didn't ask about how old I am at that time. I know, I get a feeling that that's my foster mother there. And I didn't want to hurt her feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, I understand that. And I just, just go along. And the kids are usually teasing me as a stranger because the dialect, spoke at the time is entirely different from the village.
Oh.
So they kind of teasing me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's what made me remember a little,
mm-hmm. yes.
more about.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to around in the 40s. I went to school. I went to school there.
Mm-hmm.
I learned the basic of writing and reading.
And then did you Did you continue in Chinese school in Baltimore?
No. I didn't have a chance, and although they have, since I came over, Lillian Kim, she was a youngster then, and she used to come and took us, the newcomer, to the church.
Mm.
So I didn't want the church for, I don't know how long, maybe a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
And there I learned the ABC.
Mm-hmm.
In the church Sunday school.
This is English.
English.
This is where you learned your English.
English, right.
Mm-hmm.
Learned the ABC and Sunday school.
In your home, when you first arrived in Baltimore, was any English spoken?
No. Since I arrived, I stayed with my uncle.
Yes.
At that time, I stayed with my uncle at the restaurant. And the restaurant called China Lane. And it's on the second floor. The kitchen's on the third floor. And one section of the third floor is the kitchen. The other section in front is living quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm living up the the third floor. That's the reason that Board of Education couldn't find me.
You're behind the kitchen.
until I volunteered and came out after the Second World War and started the school.
Uh-huh. Going back to your trip over, what arrangements had to be made for your trip?
The arrangements, when I came out to Hong Kong, I had to go through, at that time, Japanese was occupying large portion of the coastline.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came out, since I lived in the village, the Japanese already bombed the town of Toisan City. Maybe, I don't know the number of population, but it's considered it's the main city in that district. Now, I had to, well, anyway, they bombed, we do have railroad in that city, and I can see the airplane come down and drop the bomb and go out and disappear. That's at the beginning. Now, I forgot what, I don't remember what year, but I saw how the Japanese airplane come down, drop the bomb, and go back out.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I had fear, but I kind of enjoyed watching it.
Yes.
I don't know the difference at that time. Then, a few years later, when they drop the bomb, the airplane just goes straight past the city, didn't come down at all, and the bomb just coming down like a little matchstick coming down, and more than the previous year. So at that time, I think it was around 39 or 40.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Japanese already occupied the coastline. So in order for me to come out to Hong Kong at that time, it was, it still is, British colony.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a free port.
Yes.
So I had to come out to Hong Kong to get on one to come to the United States. When I come out, I had to get on the sedan chair and kind of sneak out through the mountain and so on and come out to the waterfront. And when I get into the waterfront, the ocean. It's the first time I see ocean. And it's just water. For me, at that time, I had no fear. I couldn't swim at that time. And I got on a little small sampan with no sail. And it just flowed for, I forgot how long, but it's a long time. I think maybe 2 days, and I got out to Macau. Macau is a Portuguese colony, and from Macau, and now that when I come out, I come up with a group, a group of people. Now I forgot, I don't remember now whether there's some youngster, or young kids in there, and some adults in there, but I don't remember. But anyway, when I get on the sampan, the adults put those youngsters down below, underneath, almost touch the water. The sampan down the bottom has the water, and the kids stay down that section, and the adults stay on top, and they put board on top. But between the board, you can see the light coming through. And when they serve meal, they just take the boards off and hand you the meal. And while I'm coming out, I can hear the machine gun sound. Like the firecracker, Now, I had no fear at that time, and I was kind of curious, you know, what's going on up there? I want to go out and see. But the adults keep quiet. The kids keep quiet. And we did keep quiet. We finally got out with my cow. From my cow, we take a boat, one to one. After I got to Hong Kong, then that was around October. In the summertime, and then I came through on the boat, came up, and all coming through past northern part of Japan, the Japanese dropped a couple of bombs in the ship where I was coming over to Vancouver, in Canada, and they dropped a couple of bombs, and I heard the bomb went off, and that's quite a few youngsters like my age.
Yes.
Also have little tags on the back and the front to tell who you are and where you're going, you know, in case you get lost in this, the identification, the name and so on. And the ship had to have one adult, especially taking care of that group of youngsters. At that time, of course, I don't remember who was come with me and so on, but we just a group, I forgot even how many. I remember in that group, and when I heard they dropped the bomb, sounded like somebody firing a gun, and of course our age were kind of curious about fishing, hunting whale, and so on. That we want to see might be somebody shooting the big whale.
Mm-hmm.
So we ran loose, and finally the ship started listing and kind of tilted, almost like a skateboard ring.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of tilted. You can slide down and you can kind of enjoy it too.
Mm-hmm.
And the adult ran out and started put lifesaver on the kids and grab us and put it on, and that's it. And I saw the airplane coming down, and at that time I had no fear.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of enjoy it.
Yeah.
If that bomb dropped a little deeper, and I might have to swim all the way over.
Long swim.
And then after it happened, we went up there and looked, and the hole was so big, at least, bigger than two dining room tables high.
Mm-hmm.
It went down to quite a few decks, and it didn't. And I heard they talking about, the adults were talking about how far it goes down. They go too far, it'll be down the border. Now, back in the old day, they used coal, and they don't use oil. They had no oil at that time. They used coal. The man down there had shovel coal to make the steam to travel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I came over to the United States, and got to Seattle, and I had to get on the train. And again, another adult took a group of people to Montreal, and I stayed in Montreal with the relative for a little while, and I came to Boston. And from Boston, I had to go through the process, the interrogation, and I passed it, and they let me out around February.
What year was this?
41.
41. This was
41.
I see. This was before
Pearl
Harbor.
Before Pearl Harbor.
Yes.
A few months later.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to school. I went to school first, and I made American friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the same age, the same class. And since I'm a novelty at that time, and they kind of, I would kind of enjoy it myself.
Yes.
And then he took me to the family, and the family kind of liked me, and I liked the family, I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, become my second family.
These were
American. American family, they are German.
Mm-hmm.
And they live in around Clifton Park.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I started going to elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Until then all the young men went to the wall, then I had to go in to work in the kitchen.
Yes.
That's how I dropped out from the elementary school.
Yeah.
And I had to drop out in here and think about until the war's over. But meanwhile, I still went back there to see the family, the American friend.
Mm-hmm.
They are very nice. Their name's Hoban, H-O-B-I-N-E.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very, very nice. They like mom and father to me.
That's wonderful.
And after the Second World War, and I went back to school, And I went to back my grandfather's laundry, which is not very far from Mom Hoban's place, Clifton Park. So I visited him, and then finally my grandfather sold the laundry, and he wanted to go back to the old country right after the Second World War. But I wanted to go to school. He wanted me to go back to the old country and get married and have kids and work in laundry and so on and so on.
In the old country?
In the old country. Then I went back to the old country and get married.
Yes.
And come back.
Oh, I see.
And then you come back and work in laundry. Mm-hmm. I can't see myself in that shoe. So I just continue on to the school. And that's how I went through my school.
I see.
On my own. And I'll work in a restaurant on the weekend. And while I went through college, I stayed with the Hobans too. I stayed there. Whenever I come in, there's always a room.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm hungry, there's always a plate on the table waiting for me, a room for me. Anytime I come in, I have a bed to lie down. So they're very, very nice to me, like mother, father to me.
Okay.
And the boys like a brother to me. He's still a brother. Okay. And I still visit the family.
Mm-hmm.
And mom and pop passed away a few years ago.
Do you remember your first impressions of Baltimore and of America, or as a kid?
Well, at that time, I number one, I kind of enjoyed it. One, you had a nice bed to lie down, and there's plenty of food to eat. You had clothes to put on, keep you warm. I kind of like it.
Yes.
I had shoes to put on. Otherwise, in the old country, I would probably run around half naked. it's true. And I told my kid, I said, well, even I was 8 or 9 years old, I was half naked running around the rice paddy. I kind of enjoy it.
What was the Chinese family structure in Baltimore when you arrived? Was it similar to in the old country, or
The family structure the same? Yes, and again, it's a relative. And remember, at that time, there's only no more than a dozen family have mother and father in the city.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this country. So only about a dozen family. The rest of them are male.
Male.
And because of discrimination at that time, the Chinese had no other entertainment except go down Chinatown and make their own entertainment by gambling. That's how it's evolved. The Chinese gamble a lot because they had no other entertainment.
Was this cards and?
Play cards and play mahjong and so on.
Mm-hmm.
All kind of gambling type of thing. Though.
Yes.
I don't care for gambling, so my IQ on gambling is 0.
Yes. And I was going to say, what was the place of women in Chinese society in America, but there weren't that many, I guess. They were
The mother is usually the boss. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that in the United States. What we call the mother is the boss, like a godfather type of thing.
Yes.
No, it's not. But they hidden behind. They are smart. A Chinese woman is very clever. They let the man know. Think they are the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they behind everything. They the one that hold the family together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And of course, father had to go out and make the bacon and bring home, and mother do the cooking.
Yes. What did your in your article, you said that your grandmother had said she would find the prettiest girl in the village for you. What did that? What did you mean by that?
Well, this when I leave the old country. They always want their children, or grandchildren, to come back and get married. You know, that's one of the things that they, I guess, make the grandson wanted to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, I was too young to understand exactly what
yes.
what
yes.
he meant.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Well, were marriages arranged?
Yes, marriage arranged at that time, even up to Second World War, after Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, they still doing it. it can be arranged, yes.
How?
I'm still a bachelor, but I had not a relatives and
uh-huh.
arranged all those meeting this my distant relative, nice girl, you want to meet her and so on.
Who does this? The grandmother or
relatives?
Relatives.
Mother and father, mm-hmm. distant mm-hmm. relative, they all do.
And this still goes
they
on.
Still do, still mm-hmm. going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's
mm-hmm.
going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's no different. But today I told him, I said, well, both parties have to be satisfied,
mm-hmm.
compatible, and shared responsibility. It's not like in the old country and say, well, you have to marry this, my relative so-and-so. You can't
yes.
do that anymore
yes.
today, but you have to both sign permission. That's the one difference. You have
sign?
Both permissions, not sign, but agreement.
Oh, I see.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Now, back in the old days, you say you had no choice. You
mm-hmm.
marry so-and-so, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But today, the youngsters have a choice.
Yes.
You say, well, I don't like that person, so, okay, I'll find you another one.
Yeah.
See, that's what today's policy. They keep trying. They still try it on me.
It's not working. do you recall what the greatest adjustment that you had to make when you came over?
The greatest adjustment is the language.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the problem, the language. And making friends, I remember that when I was little, very, very lonesome by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I learned how to draw, keep myself occupied.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I get involved in art.
Mm-hmm.
Here you sit down and you can read their language, their books, and you have very little of viewers. So when you pass time, you do other things
mm-hmm.
that you are familiar with.
And you drew and
drew
mm-hmm.
and draw and pictures and
mm-hmm.
I found that successful in it, so
yes.
I keep
working
on it.
Did you run into prejudice as
for me, when I was young, no, because I met Hoban
mm-hmm.
and they took me into family. So I never had that feeling.
Yeah.
I never had that feeling. But when I talk to other people, they have yes,
mm-hmm.
and think that it evolved through prejudice is there,
mm-hmm.
and as I look into it, I can see. But from my personal experience, no, I didn't. Even when I finished school, except one time, when I signed up. The course for art education, the dean of the college asked me, say, when you finish this course here, you're going to go back to old country and teach? That's the only time
mm-hmm.
I felt that
mm-hmm.
discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time, no other time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, in a way, I wasn't embarrassed, but I was kind of concerned. I said, am I going to be going back? Maybe I don't want to go back. That's the only time
yes.
to do discrimination.
Was there a feeling when you were younger, was there an awareness of the superior culture of the Chinese?
You mean
it's a much older culture than our culture, and
do I feel that way?
Yes, yes. Did you feel that way?
No, no, no.
Did you feel that way?
I don't feel the superiority, inferiority that aspect, no.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm in school, I had a lot of friends, and
mm-hmm.
I go through parties, and the whole childhood experience with Hobans.
Mm-hmm.
So no discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
I even remember that when Hobans have a party playing post office and so
mm-hmm.
on, little kids, I didn't feel like, and the kids treat me as one of them.
That's wonderful.
Because I never feel that discrimination. Then when I start come out teaching, then I never feel that way.
Yeah.
Although the student I have maybe pronounce my name in the other sound different way.
Yes. Yes.
That you may consider as a discriminate. No, I don't think so. Just maybe they want to learn my language and they said pronounce the word, the name, and so on. So I feel that way.
Did you have trouble getting adjusted to American food?
No. Matter of fact, I don't remember my adjustment at all. Anything. I said one thing, cheese. I had a little hard time. I remember the cheese. Back in the old day, in my uncle's restaurant, they had cheese hanging on the on top of the restaurant. You know, they hang hot and cheese hanging up. And I don't like the odor and the fragrance of the cheese at that time, but I learned to eat it and like it.
Do the Chinese have cheese?
Not exactly that
not
kind of cheese. We call bean cake. That's the kind of cheese, but it's not cheese. It's bean cake. But it doesn't have the odor, the flavoring or odor like the cheese.
When you were a child, did American celebrations such as Thanksgiving, the 4th of July, did they mean anything to you? Or?
Yes. I remember. I was very looking forward when I was a child, looking forward to Thanksgiving, because Mom hope I always had Thanksgiving, and I loved time. The time, the fragrance and the flavor, and the roast turkey stuffing, I just eat. And I never get it. Mom hope I make the best roast turkey. And yes, back in the old day, we only had looking forward to eat turkey around Thanksgiving. And I don't remember whether the same turkey they have is saved up until Christmas or not. I don't remember, but we do have, I remember they had turkey around Christmas time too.
When did you realize that America was your home, or was did this ever occur?
After I went to school, after I finished high school, then I realized that's the only way I can make a living. And I don't think so. I want to go back to old country, work in a rice paddy, go into other kind of occupation. That's why I went to college. And before I went to, since I finished high school, at that time, I went to work down Chevrolet assembly line, right down the Bowling Highway.
Yes,
I think. Then I worked there, and all I do is put four bolts and four nuts and tie it together. Now that's all day, jump in and out from one car to another. All I do is put four bolts in and put four nuts and tie it up with air gun. And by the end of the day, I was dead tired. And I got home and so tired. And Pop would say, "What's the matter, son?" I say, "Well, I'm tired." He said, "Well, take off your t-shirt and I'll give you an alcohol rub." I said, "No, I'm going to bed and rest." And the next day, I go back doing the same thing over again. And I can't see myself the rest of my life work on the assembly line doing the same thing. That's hard work. That's why I appreciate education.
Yes, yes. That's when you decided that education was the thing.
The only thing.
Did you, said that you returned to China, did you?
I took a trip around the world at that time, you know, 1969. I saved up some money and I decided, well, I might take a trip around the world and see what happened. And so I decided, well, get on the, arrange for the passport, get on the plane by myself, and flew around the world. And I kind of enjoy it. It's a little expensive, but
yes.
I kind of enjoy it because when I get to a certain city, if I like it, I stay for all the sightseeing that I can sign up for. And if I don't find anything I'm sad, I like, and I decide, we'll call the airport and arrange the flight to go out to another city.
Yes.
And I kind of enjoy it.
Did you go back into China?
I Kun at that time, 1969, and I stopped in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I found my sister, the family, living there. And at that time, they wanted to come over to this country. So when I came back and I started to work on the arrangements, they come over, sponsor them over.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel going back into a totally Chinese area, community?
I found that when I was a child, passed through Hong Kong, it's entirely different in 69, completely opposite. I couldn't imagine that how it developed. Such a tremendous change. There's a lot of people there, there's over 4 million at that time, and the building is all over the place, it's about 20 or 30 story high, and the people is just all over the place. So even this past summer, I went back to Hong Kong, visit Hong Kong with my other relatives. It's getting worse. More people.
You went back.
But this time I very enjoyed it because this relative of mine took me all over the place that ordinary tourists won't go to.
Yes.
And if I go by myself with that relative, I probably won't see all those things. But they took me all over the Hong Kong with all different islands and new territories. And I taste their food, and I really love it.
Did you?
I had a wonderful trip this summer.
Good. Good. Let me see. You did, going back to your childhood, you did not work in your grandfather's laundry, did you?
I've helped out during the Second World War. Although I worked in the restaurant, when the day I get off, I go to visit my grandfather and help out. And at one time, my grandfather did pull me out of the restaurant because the laundry was very busy. So he went back there and pulled me out from the restaurant, and I went to the restaurant and helped him out, helping him in the laundry.
Who was working in the laundry?
Just my grandfather.
By himself?
By himself. And he hired color ladies ironing shirts. And I used to help him to iron the color, starts the color and on a few shirts and so on.
Was there a difference in discipline for a young Chinese in America as against in China? Was the discipline in the home different?
The discipline
within the family.
Within the family is no different. The only difference is the discipline problem. In the old country, remember the males sojourned, they out in the country, they overseas, and the mother had to play mother and father part. So discipline problem is entirely different. Now the family here, you had mom and father with the family. That discipline has to be shared. Child behavior is entirely, I'm sure it's different, the psychological is a little different, because here you have mother play both parts.
Yes.
In the old country. And you come over this side, then father had to play both parts, mother and father. For me, my grandfather, I had to play all those parts, mother, grandfather, and father. It's hard for him. And the youngster, the behavior problem is different. I consider myself kind of rebelling against his philosophy.
Rebelling against the philosophy?
Yeah, his philosophy is that you come over and work, make the money, and go home, and marry, and settle down. But my philosophy is make something out of yourself.
Yes.
That's the reason I went to school. So it's entirely different. His idea is still an old country idea. And the young generation, a little different. They see, they go to school and see the thing different.
Yes.
So they want to change it. So I consider myself as part of it.
When did you say that your grandfather went back and stayed?
My grandfather never did went back. After he sold the laundry in, I believe in the early 50s when I was in college. And my grandmother passed away, So he just stayed.
Where was your grandmother living?
In China.
She
couldn't come over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If she wanted to come over, she had to pick up paper and not like paper sign.
Yes.
Had to go through the same old routine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they can't take the woman go home old country and bring the wife over.
Yeah.
Not until after Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one who can bring the wife over is the one being in the service as a TI. And then they can go, a lot of the young, in the 20s and 30s years old, they go after Second World War, they've been in the service, and they go back to the country to bring the wife over with no problem.
They came as war brides.
As like a citizen.
Yes.
They got off the boat, no problem whatsoever, no interrogations, no routine.
Well, the interrogation stopped completely after the war, didn't it?
After the Second World War,
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, there's also in the 50s, they also check on those paper signs. I become citizen in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
In the 60s, 61. And before that, in the 50s, they're very strict. They go over, check on everyone, see whether you're a genuine, a paper son.
Mm-hmm.
A paper son, you go back.
Mm-hmm.
You go back to the old country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you had to go through the process and change. Now, in the 50s, when Kennedy was in, I think that the law changed. That you cannot change it. Change your name. From paper sign, change back to your genuine name.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing changed.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the 60s, I did.
Mm-hmm.
I changed back to my genuine name, Hom Ken K, the family that adopted me, from Leslie Chin.
Mm-hmm.
But they cannot change anything else, just the name. The age, and date, birthday, and so on, they cannot change.
Well, what is your name now, then?
The reason I still use Leslie Chin is because I've been using it in my field,
yes,
my occupation. And if I change now, it kind of confuses us, so I just leave it alone.
But
in the legal field, I had to use the Hom Ken K. For example, I took a trip to out of the country. I use Hom Ken K, the passport.
That's K-I-M-K-E-E?
K-A-Y. K-I-M-K-E-Y.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to use that on my passport. Matter of fact, this summer I ran into some problem catching American traveler check. But what I did wrong, I bought the traveler check, I used Leslie Chin's name. Then when I go over there, I want to cash that. They want the passport. He said, how come the passport has a different name? Fortunately, my relative know the money exchanger. That's okay, so I went through, no problem. Otherwise, I had problems.
I'm sure that your driver's license says Leslie Chin.
Right, my driver's license has that name. And of course, Social Security number is the same. Social Security number is the same, except the name.
Yeah. Are there many of your friends over here that were paper sons?
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of them, but they've changed to...
It's not genuine
now.
Right.
Not since 60. They changed now.
Was it the kind of a thing that you talked about beforehand or that you just kept very quiet?
At that time, you had to keep very quiet. Mm-hmm. But now I can talk about freely.
Mm-hmm.
I had nothing to fear. I'm a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I had nothing to fear. At that time, yes. They probably say, well, you're a paper son. You had no right to be here. You go back to old country. Now, you don't mind to go back, but the problem is that what kind of, how you can make a living over there?
Mm-hmm.
And where are all your friends over here?
Mm-hmm.
And when you do want to come back, the process, the procedure, the involvement, you go through all those very unsettled
moments.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just a quick thing on celebrations when you were younger, the Chinese New Year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Chinese New Year.
How did that differ in Baltimore from in the old country?
Well, in old country, the kids usually receive gift from the adults,
mm-hmm.
and the youngster always looking forward on something.
Mm-hmm.
We all enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
and they celebrate maybe 10 days or a couple weeks,
mm-hmm.
and they're all kind of goodies to eat and the gift to receive as a youngster, you get a lot of those little things.
Mm-hmm.
And now, when I came to this country, it kind of lost out that. I kind of missed out those things. But every year, they do have a couple of days, especially on Sunday, to celebrate New Year.
Mm-hmm.
But not like in the old country,
mm-hmm.
like a whole week, a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. And also with, is it Qingming?
Qingming, that's the Easter time.
Yes.
Yeah, the Easter time to visit. It's similar to our Easter time.
How is that celebrated over here? If the ancestors are not here,
We have a Chinese cemetery, Kabam,
mm-hmm.
and we do Qingming at that time.